chapter 43. Argilor was awake. Shifting on his high spruce perch, he glared down greedily through his old watery eyes at the red-cloaked figure crossing the parade ground of Kertir. At last, Pine Marten! Samina pushed hard against the gates.
See? They're rocking on their hinges,
she pointed out to Bane.
Those woodlanders have been meddling with them, I'm sure of it.
Bane gave the gates a kick.
Do you think so? They seem solid enough to me. Even fire arrows didn't make much impression on these gates.
Samina unbolted the locks, opening the gates cautiously. She peered around them at the woodlands. It was safe.
All clear out here, but I don't like it. I'm sure they've done something to these hinges from outside. Just think, if these gates blew down during the autumn, we'd be at their mercy.
I don't know what you're fussing about,
Bane said, swirling his new cloak impatiently.
The gates look all right to me.
Samina gnawed her lip.
Are you really sure, though?
The fox sighed in exasperation.
Oh, I suppose I'll have to go and take a look to keep you happy.
He strolled briskly outside. Samina dodged inside, slamming the gates and bolting them. Bane was puzzled momentarily.
Oi, what's the matter with you, Samina?
There was no reply. Samina was racing across the parade ground to watch from her high window. Suddenly, Bane sensed he had been tricked, but it was too late. Argilor had already launched himself from his perch. He homed in on the red-cloaked figure like a bolt from the blue. On the other side of Kertir, Bane's mercenaries worked away on the scullery door, blissfully unaware of what was taking place outside. Bane did not see the eagle swoop. He was trying to find portholes as he clambered up the oaken gates. Argilor struck him hard from behind, burying powerful talons and vicious hooked beak in the prey which had eluded him for so long. The fox was transfixed, frozen with cruel agony, but as the eagle started to carry him off, Bane's fighting instinct took over. Freeing his curved sword, he struck upward at the feathered enemy. The sword hit Argilor once, twice. Doggedly, the great eagle sank talons and beak deeper into his prey, beating the air with his massive wings spread as he did. Both hunter and quarry rose skyward. Samina, at her window, danced up and down in fiendish glee. Attracted by the screams, the occupants of Kertir looked up. Bane slashed wildly with his sword. Argilor stabbed madly with his beak. All the while, the combatants rose higher, and soon they were above the treetops. Chib fluttered in circles some distance away. He watched the amazing sight as eagle and fox rose into the sky. Far above Mossflower, Argilor won the battle. Bane gave a final shudder and went limp, the curved sword falling from his lifeless paws. The ancient eagle felt cheated. This was no Pine Marten, it was a fox. Argilor's heart sank in his breast. It did not rise again. The rheumy eyes shut in the same instant as the great wings folded in death, and only the talons remained fixed deep into the dead fox. Samina watched as both creatures plunged earthward, two enemies defeated in a single brilliant stroke. Ratflank dashed for the gate. Brog shouted after him.
Where do you think you're off to?
To get that cloak, of course. That's a good bit of velvet. It can be repaired, you know.
Get back here, frog brain. See what happened to the fox? He wore the cloak. Do you want the same thing happening to you?
Frog brain yourself, dimwit. Can't you see the eagle's dead? Any creature can wear that cloak now.
Hey, don't you call me dimwit, droopy whiskers.
I'll call you what I like, dimwit. Knit ears, fat nose.
Samina smiled inwardly. A third victory today. Now she heard Ratflank shouting, she could identify the insolent voice that had often insulted her from the protection of the ranks or the bottom of a curved stairwell. Later that day, she instructed Brog.
Take Ratflank and find the bodies of the eagle and the fox.
Yes, milady. Shall I bring them back here?
No, Brog. Bury them.
As you say, milady.
Oh, and Brog?
Yes, milady.
How do you feel about that insolent Ratflank these days?
Oh, him? He's a cheeky beast, my lady. Called me lots of nasty names.
Yes, me too. How would you like to bury him with a fox and the eagle?
Brog chortled.
Can I, my lady?
Yes, but not a word to any creature about it.
Can I have the red cloak too, my lady?
Yes, if you want it.
And Bane's curved sword, my lady?
Brog pressed her.
If you can find it.
Where do you think it fell, my lady?
Samina turned her eyes upward as if seeking patience.
Brog, I wouldn't know where the sword fell, or the eagle, or the fox. Just get out of my sight and don't bother me with details.
But what about... Yes, my lady.
Earthclaw was first to reach the underground foundations of Kateir. Tunnelling steadily, he made his way along the underground wall until he met up with Billum. Together they continued until they linked up with Soilflyer, who was waiting for them.
Brr, day to we moles,
he greeted them.
For mole and how dinny be along with tools soon. Essence can break through we rock then.
Lady Amber had sunk the floodgates at the other end of the tunnels. They were to be lifted by rope hoists attached to rock counterweights over high branches. Skipper and his crew had dug fresh tunnels from the river, sloping down to meet the floodgates, which separated them from the main tunnels. All the workings had been shorn up with stone and timber. Four moles supervised the removal of rocks from the foundations of Kateir. The moles pried away the soft, damp stones with bars and chisels, until they felt the cold, fetid air on their snouts.
Ooh, dirty old place needing a good bath!
Shortly before nightfall, the moles climbed out of the tunnel workings. Back in Mossflower, where the woodlanders and Corrim leaders had assembled, Bella rolled three large rocks over the holes from which the moles had emerged. Others moved in to pack the bung rocks firmly in with wood and soil. Now everything was ready. Between the lower depths of Kateir and the distant river in Mossflower Woods, all that stood was three timber sluice gates. Lady Amber laid her tail flat on the lower branches of a sycamore. The woodlanders held their breath. Skipper nodded to Formole. Formole nodded to Bella. Bella nodded to Amber. The squirrel's tail rose like a starter's flag. There was a creaking of rope pulleys as squirrels launched the rocks from the high trees, riding down to earth on them, holding to the ropes. The counterweights travelled fast, humming across the heavily beeswaxed branches. The wooden floodgates made a squelching sound as they were pulled free of the earth. Then water began rippling through into the tunnels. The flooding of Kateir had begun.